Well, I would like to remind everyone that prayer is truly a weapon for us. But there are two things that entail in using prayer as a weapon, as in a sword or anything, or a rifle or a gun. We need to know how to use it. And particularly when we speak about a sword has to be sharpened. And the only way we can sharpen a sword vis-a-vis prayer is by learning how to pray and praying. And the same way with a gun, you know, soldiers clean their guns all the time. And so this is what we are doing, that we need to learn how to pray. We are in the process of learning, my brothers and sisters. We pray, and God is deepening our understanding concerning prayer. In today's gospel reading, let me deal with the gospel today and then go back to the gospel yesterday. Jesus uses what we call hyperbole, which is some type of exaggerated language to catch the reader's attention or the listener's attention. And that means that even to the point of cutting one's hand or plucking one's eye, it is not to be interpreted literally, but what it actually means, as we are reminded all the time, is that we need to fight against sin to the best of our ability. So that's what actually it means when Jesus uses such language. From yesterday's reading, it talks about greatness. Humans inclined to be great, to make name for themselves. Human greatness is about power, position, possession, prestige. Kingdom greatness is defined differently. It indeed feels better to be served, but it is certainly greater to serve. Let me say that again. It indeed feels better to be served, but it is certainly greater to serve. That is from the words of the scriptures. Along the road, Jesus again spoke about his passion, suffering, and crucifixion waiting for him in Jerusalem. The disciples were disputing who is the greatest, who will lead the group after Jesus dies. Typical humans. Arriving in Capernaum and at the house of Peter and Andrew, Jesus calls his disciples and talks to them privately. It's like Jesus called every single one of them and said, okay, let me talk to you. Away from the crowd. Why? Because Jesus had overheard their argument, who is the greatest. And the Lord said some very profound words that lead us and guide us to what Christianity is all about. Because this is something that he would do on the cross himself. He said, if you want to be first, be the last. If you want to be great, be a servant. This must have shocked the disciples themselves. What is Jesus talking about? Because in their time, to be first means to have priority over others, like the leading men of Galilee, who have more influence, prestige, and power than an ordinary person. Jesus does not condemn the innate desires for grandeur in the human heart. God created man, I believe, for greatness, but in a godly sense. But he turns human thinking on its head. The only way to fulfill these desires, paradoxically, is to put oneself last in priority. So what we can see is the understanding of greatness, the human understanding of greatness, and the kingdom understanding of greatness are two different things. Yes, man has the propensity to be great. Man wants desire to be great. But Jesus is now teaching his disciples and all of us what kingdom greatness is all about. And it's totally contrary to the understanding of human greatness. And it's not mere pious thinking or idea to be great. It must be expressed in concrete action. If we're saying we are servants, we don't serve in simply in our thoughts or in our heart. We serve using our hands. And the word servant means diakonos. That's where we get the word deacon, to serve. To be a servant of all was a radically unconventional idea in the ancient world, where humility and weakness were viewed not as virtues, but as sign or signs of weakness. Let me repeat what I said, that in their time, humility and meekness were viewed not as virtues, but signs of weakness. And those who are in authority should expect to be served and showered with honors. It's not any different today in the world that we live in. No one in their right mind would aspire to be a servant. That was a challenge that came to the disciples. Jesus follows the pronouncement with a symbolic action. He puts his arms around a child. Now, the question that I've been asking is, why a child? What is great about a child? When we think of a child, what comes to our mind? Someone who has not yet matured in learning. Who is a child? What is a child? Someone who throws himself or herself on the floor demanding a want. Throwing tantrums. That is what a child. But on the flip side, on the other side, a child is someone without anxiety, totally dependent on his parents, among other descriptions, and what is good about a child. So what is the connection on the subject of greatness? Let me explain. In their culture, they understood that the word child could also mean servant. Our Lord does not mean a little child who has not reached the use of reason because of immaturity. With his gesture, Jesus shows human affection for this child and at the same time teaches his disciples to have new esteem for and responsibility toward those who are most helpless or inconsequential. So that means when Jesus said, not only a child, but in their culture, in their time, it meant someone who was helpless, who was poor, who was homeless, who was needy. That is where the connection is. In the Old Testament, God had revealed his special love for the lowly, who are often overlooked, oppressed by the powerful. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 18, he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. God has a special heart for those who are less fortunate in life. From Psalm chapter 41, verse 1 and 2, and I would encourage you to write this verse down, because this is a blessing to someone who considers the poor. It says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." So someone who is always considerate of the poor, the Lord said, "I will deliver him in times of trouble," for the person who considers the poor. And it continues on, "The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth." That is the blessing that God promised to those who consider the poor. And not only that, he said, "You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies." And I believe that God will also heal him in his sick bed. That is from Psalm 41, verse 1 and 2. Now, people might say, "Well, I am poor." But always think, if you and I think we are poor, there's always someone who is poorer. Yesterday, I heard someone said to me, "It is good to help, but not to the point that we take away people's ability to have faith in God." We're all called to help those who are less fortunate than we are. Jesus did not stop the poor woman from giving her cents. Why? Because giving is what will get that woman out of poverty. Yes, we are asked to help those who are less fortunate than we are. So don't think you are poor because you are blessed by God. Let me tell you how rich you are in the eyes of God. If someone comes to you and says, I need your kidney and I'm going to pay $10,000 for your kidney, would you sell your kidney? Or if someone says, someone is in need of an eye, I'm going to give you $1 million and give me your eyes so it can be transplanted into someone else. That means you have in your possession that God gave you something worth more than $1 million perhaps. In today's gospel, Jesus was explicit and firm about not putting a stumbling block, an obstacle on those little ones, the weak and vulnerable. In football, if you trip, if a player trips someone else or another player, he gets a yellow card or a red card. So Jesus says, do not trip someone, particularly the weak and vulnerable. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, everybody can be great because everybody, anybody can serve. Let us be reminded of who our Lord is. The King of the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth, came to serve every single one of us. Let us follow and emulate our Lord.